You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome, citizens, to this day in history with Benjamin J. Goldson.
Hello, yes, this day in history, going back to 1991 for the end of the First Gulf War. This was between Iraq and the sort of Western allies led by the United States, which had been something of an ally to the regime of Saddam Hussein in Iraq, but it would be his invasion of Kuwait that would turn the United States against him.
ABC, this is World News Tonight with Peter Jennings.
Good evening. The deadline has come and gone. The Iraqis are living in what President Bush calls borrowed time. It is no longer whether the war will start, but when. They know that in Baghdad as well as in Washington, there is a rumor every hour. Our first report is from Saudi Arabia. Here's ABC's Bill Redeker.
On the battleship Wisconsin, coordinated sea air operations with British fighter jets, the firing of the ship's 5-inch guns, the testing of its anti-missile system, preparations for war.
Ready for war, sir. Ready for war. That's what this ship came over here to do.
General Porter, all hands man your battle stations.
As the deadline approached, the commander announced the Wisconsin had been placed on DEFCON 2 alert, defensive condition 2, one not short of war.
We should consider that hostilities are imminent. What does that mean?
War.
That means that we need to get ready to fight.
Ready also means that the Wisconsin has begun launching its miniature unmanned planes that can transmit remote television pictures of Iraqi ships and other targets. The Army's 82nd Airborne also practiced today, storming and securing buildings. The firing of assault weapons and explosion of grenades increase the realism of what many here believe is the last step before battle.
Of course, you know, everybody's nervous. It's just like playing a big game. Until the first blow, you won't know what's going to happen until the first blow.
At the largest airbase in Saudi Arabia today, some F-15 air-to-air combat planes were on Zulu alert, ready to take off, fully armed, in 15 minutes.
Anybody tell you they're a little scared in my position right now? And if they tell you they're not scared, they're probably lying to you.
On the day the deadline came and went, American forces were exercising with a new intensity and a new seriousness. Before the Marines today moved closer to the border, they were given chemical warfare antidotes.
This is how to use the injector. The instructions are also on the injector. You'll be getting a class later.
Tonight, considerably increased air activity here in Saudi Arabia. During the past half hour, we have counted about 20 fighter jet aircraft takeoffs. Normally, there is some air activity at night, but it's normally transport and a few air missions. This does mark an increase in air activity. Peter?
Bill, I hear that from elsewhere in Saudi Arabia as well. What does the military high command say about it?
They're not saying anything, and they say that anything further on it will come out of either Washington or Riyadh, but we are hearing nothing in the eastern province of an official nature.
Captain Mike Miller there says anybody who isn't scared is a fool. Is everybody scared?
I think there's a certain amount of tension in the air and a certain amount of anxiety, both among the troops and the civilian population. There's a definite feeling that something is up or about to be up.
Okay, thank you very much, Bill Redeker, who's in Saudi Arabia. By the way, senior Pentagon officials confirmed to ABC's Bob Zelnick that there has been an increase in night activity in the Gulf from both bases on land and also from ships, but they declined to characterize it beyond that.
That was part one of This Day in History. We'll be right back after another little break.
Bang Bang China Cafe, your late night dumpling lover's dream. All the thrills and flavours of Dominion Road and, well, China, squashed into the only place in the viaduct with zero ocean views. A gut-sizzling range of shumai, pot sticker dumplings, steamed buns, dan-dan noodles and utterly delicious loads more. For a quick dumpling fix or late night karaoke shenanigans, head to Bang Bang China Cafe. Open 7 days from 6 till midnight. Enter via St. Alice next to Dr. Rudy's in the viaduct.
Summer's here and the time is right. We're dancing in the street. They'll be swinging, swaying, records playing. South America!
Yep, crack.
Cross Street Music Festival is coming up, and with the likes of Lady Six, Racing, and Julian Dine on the lineup, it's gonna be hot. If you want to win yourself tickets to this artsy rager, then just grab your Simplicity B card and stay tuned to 95BFM Breakfast all this week. Cross Street Music Festival, March 2nd, 3 to 10pm. Tickets from cosmicticketing.co.nz. Get up, come on, I'm gonna pull the sheets off you in a minute.
It's early!
It's only as early as you feel, and I feel amazing! I've got the hose here. Do you want the hose?
No, look, I'm getting up.
Are you though? It's time.
Yes, what?
For Mikey's special song.
I've got a really interesting story to tell you about flowers and
plants.
The 95BFM Wake Up Call, Wednesdays on Breakfast. Jumpstart your morning with a truly electric tune, painstakingly selected by your mate, Mikey Havoc. 95BFM Wake Up Call, thanks to Altura Coffee.
And we're back.
It's part two of this day in history. When we left off, the United States had entered into war with Iraq over its invasion of Kuwait. And the war would be very quick due to this massive disparity in firepower. And so the war would end on this day in history, 1991.
Hello, I'm Don Miller. In a moment, we'll bring you the sights and sounds of jubilant Kuwaitis celebrating the freeing of their land from Iraqi occupiers. First, the latest developments in the Gulf. The U.S.-led allies and Iraq are now in a ceasefire mode. Minutes ago, Radio Baghdad says Iraqi forces were ordered to hold their fire. The U.S. military says allied offensive operations stopped 3.5 hours ago at 8 in the morning Kuwaiti time, midnight Eastern in the United States. The day dawned over a Baghdad free from aerial bombardment for the first time in 42 days and nights. Some people still fired guns to celebrate peace. To the south and east, Allied forces Wednesday defeated the Republican Guard in a final tank battle. And at the United Nations, Iraq is promising to meet some of the conditions spelled out by President Bush for a permanent ceasefire. In a letter to the Security Council, Foreign Minister Tariq Aziz pledged to abide with Resolution 660 requiring the withdrawal from Kuwait and with all other UN Security Council resolutions. In addition to that requirement, President Bush also demands that Iraq release all prisoners of war and Kuwaiti detainees and help Kuwait in locating mines. Now, here's what it was like in Kuwait as Allied forces retook the land after 209 days of Iraqi occupation.
I was anxious to go and see Kuwait, really, and I was happy at the moment I got to the border. We had our mission and we got it, and now we're here. Well, this moment means a lot to me, and I will never, never, never in my life forget this moment, ever. I'm happy, really. I got my country. We are not soldiers, we are not politicians, we are not fighters. We're just good people and we need our country back, and we got it.
Makes you feel pretty good. They're pretty grateful people. Flowers and candy and hugs and handshakes and genuine appreciation. It feels good.
Does it make you feel the risk was worth it?
Of course. Yeah. You knew without that the risk would be worth it.
Heard a lot of talk about a reign of terror by Saddam Hussein's troops. Did you feel that during the 7 months of occupation?
Yes, we were continuously scared. We were always scared that they would come into the house because one never knew what they would do and to what extent whatever they did went to. And so it was just a matter of, even if you hadn't, I mean, if you didn't undergo anything, you were scared all the time.
The worst fear of it was the family that sheltered me and took care of me because, as you know, there was an edict that came out of Baghdad that anyone who sheltered foreigners was subject to execution.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.